Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
You know what time it is? It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Got the band back together. Coming up in our final hour, we will look back at last night's, I was going to say, Battle by the Bay. Really a battle. Niners, Panthers, the game last night on Monday Night Football, the 49ers taking on the Panthers. In 20 minutes, find out who should win the Heisman Trophy. We'll talk about it with Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports, and then our best bets come your way at 8:40. I'm Jink. She is Chelsea. Also, welcome to our audience on Stadium as we stream on the Valley Sports Live app and on valleysportslive.com during our final hour. Oh, it's almost Thanksgiving. You know how hard it is to stay motivated when you got Thanksgiving tomorrow? Like this whole time, I know we need to get into the game.
Thursday.
All I keep thinking about.
Not tomorrow.
Is it Thursday? I mean, oh, see, there you go. That's my whole point. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Then Thursday is Thanksgiving, obviously. But I can't even get it straight because all I keep thinking about is turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce. Oh, maybe a green bean casserole. How about that? Pumpkin pie. My brain right now is straight up on turkey day.
Ooh, well, mine is, but for different reasons, because I'm cooking for my entire family. The house needs to be cleaned. I've got to vacuum today. I've got to make a run to Costco. I've got to get all the ingredients. So I will be cooking from dusk to dawn probably on Thanksgiving. So it's different for me, but it's going to be a fun day because I was just thinking about this. Even if you don't want to talk to your family, at least the viewing is going to be great on TV because Thanksgiving Day Parade, easy viewing, easy conversation piece to keep it nice and light and airy as opposed to like politics and religion and family drama. And then you have the dog show. Who doesn't love dogs?
Yeah.
Like, who's not in a better mood when you watch dogs? And then you have three NFL games. So it does feel like it's going to be a great day for TV. It's going to be a great day for turkey. But I was going to mention this, Jakes. Did you see where Danny Hurley said his team wasn't going to be indulging in Thanksgiving and the turkey the day before their game? I think they play on Thanksgiving. So they're doing their Thanksgiving meal 2 days early because he said with some expletives thrown in there is that he doesn't want his players tired from all the tryptophan. He said, we're going to do Thanksgiving 2 days early because our players aren't going to be lazy and dragging around. So no turkey for UConn the day before their games.
Aww. That sounds like the perfect Dan Hurley thing to do, right? Like, I don't want the tryptophan getting into my guys. Like, if there's one coach in college basketball, it's like, of course, it's Dan Hurley. No tryptophan last. Well, maybe for the Panthers. They look sluggish. Maybe that was part of the problem for Carolina last night. They get drilled by the Niners 20-9 out in San Francisco. Niners laying 7.5. Niners minus 375 on the money line. Total set at 49 and a hook. The under hits. Brock Purdy. 23 of 32, 193 yards, and this.
Here's Jennings. And he's going to take it in after breaking tackles. Touchdown, 49ers.
That is Joe Buck on ESPN. The Niners on top 7-0. Purdy, three interceptions in the first half. The Boo Birds were sort of coming out just a little bit. But not an issue when you have Christian McCaffrey. 89 yards and a score on the ground. He also picks up 53 receiving yards. And the Niners defense really frustrates Bryce Young. Came off that career-high passing against the Falcons in that game that went to overtime, more than 400 yards. Last night, only 169 yards, one touchdown, and two picks. So the Niners keep rolling along. The problem with San Francisco is not necessarily with them. It's that they play in an incredibly tough division.
Right, and it still feels like their ceiling is going to be limited if this is the play that we are going to expect from Brock Purdy. Maybe it's not fair to look at this game and be like, oh, Brock Purdy should be like carrying the team with as much money as he's making, and one would think when you're making over $250 million on your contract, maybe it should be the case, but that's just the price of playing quarterback in the NFL. Like, we see guys like Tua and Trevor Lawrence, who are making that type of money as well. So, like, let's lower the standards a little bit. And Brock Purdy obviously was not great in this game. But the good thing is that this Niners defense certainly came to play. And I knew we had our questions about San Francisco's defense when Fred Warner went down, because it did feel like he's, like, the quarterback of that defense. But even with him watching up in the box, this was a defense that kept the Niners in the game the entire night. Because it felt like San Francisco kept giving the ball away to the Panthers, and yet either the Panthers are to blame for not taking advantage of those miscues, or it's on the defense for the Niners and saying, hey, this is a Niners defense that put the clamps down in the red zone and really kept this team in it. So even though Brock Purdy threw three interceptions, it's wild to me that the Niners still won this game comfortably because of Christian McCaffrey, because of that defense, and because of the way that Kyle Shanahan drew up the game plan for the rest of the game and saying, hey, we're not going to make Brock Purdy do that much. We're going to hand the rock to Christian McCaffrey, and we're going to wear out the clock, and we're just going to wear down this defense by the hands of Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, you know, sometimes football can be complicated, and then sometimes it's really simple. You know, sometimes you see coaches outthink themselves, right? They try to get creative when maybe they're being too creative, or they're not using their strengths. And I think sometimes it's as simple as, hey, why don't you just get the ball to this guy? Seriously, you're taking on the Panthers. You're at home. Your quarterback is struggling. You've got one of the best players in the NFL. Just get it to him. It's like when it's a third and goal at the one and you see like a fade route or something and you're like, maybe just hand it off to your running back or run a quarterback sneak and get in there. Not to say those plays can't work, but sometimes football can be overly complicated when it's simple. And I credit Kyle Shanahan to taking this defense that's been really banged up and getting them to rise above and then keeping it simple on offense when he needs to. I mean, last week, just 2 weeks ago, Brock Purdy was unbelievable. So Kyle Shanahan is one of the best coaches in the game at adjusting in game, in preparation. We've seen that throughout the season because for all the injuries that they've had, there's no way they should be competitive in the division like they are right now, but here they are.
Yeah, and it just feels like one of those teams that are just scrappy and they hang around. It feels similar to what we see from like the Rams year to year, where I know the Rams look head and shoulders above the rest of the NFL this year, but in years past, like they've had a young defense or they've had a bunch of injuries, but yet they still stick around. And that's kind of the case for the Niners. But some of it is due to the fact that the Niners have also played a very easy schedule. And I do think if you're looking at this game from a Niners standpoint, you say, okay, well, not every team is going to be as bad as the Panthers. And some good teams are going to take advantage of those turnovers. Because usually, if your quarterback throws three picks, you're not going to win a lot of those games. So luckily, they played the Panthers. But I'll say this. This was a big measuring stick game for the Panthers, who had a chance to take the lead in the NFC South, which is crazy to think. I feel like I had to keep double-checking that, because the eye test would say, oh, the Bucs are way better than the Panthers, right? But when it comes to the divisional lead, you know, the Panthers were right there. So this was a big game for the Panthers, but unfortunately, they could not get the job done when it came to their offense. Their defense was pretty solid in this one, but at the end of the day, it was just Christian McCaffrey wearing that defensive line down.
Yeah, and the Panthers are right there. Like, when you look at the NFC South, especially because the Bucs have fallen off a little bit, they've lost three straight. Now, they did get some good news yesterday that Baker Mayfield's shoulder injury was not as severe as initially thought. But it's Bucs and Panthers right there at the top of the division. And I don't know what to think about Carolina. I feel like they're slowly building into the semblance of a decent football team. They're not putrid, but they certainly are a team with Bryce Young that has had its moments this season. You know, a couple weeks ago, that was one of their moments. They get an overtime in a divisional game against the Falcons, and all of a sudden, Bryce Young balls out. That defense was good last night. So they're that sort of mid-tier team that, you know, has some potential, but they're just not good enough to hang with a team like San Francisco yet. Maybe keep it within the number. Didn't do it last night, but they're clearly a work in progress. When Jake watches this team, he's a Carolina guy. What does he say watching this Panthers team after having suffered through so many awful seasons, whereas now they're just mediocre?
Well, at least now they're knocking on the door to being relevant. Like, that's the thing with the Panthers over the past few years is that they have been cellar dwellers of the NFL to the point where you say, oh, that team's absolutely terrible. But now you look up, you know, and they have six wins to their name. So it does feel like at least they are going in the right direction. And even when you're watching the game last night, they did have good stretches where they were moving the football. And then Bryce Young would throw a pick in the end zone. So it's like, maybe it's too soon to say Bryce Young, NFL quarterback. Maybe it's still Bryce Young, NFL quarterback, question mark? Because he has had some good games this year. Last night was not one of them, though.
No, it was not. Now, one thing we saw at the end of this game, Jaquan Jennings and Trayvon Mehring got into a fight. So what we saw at the end was Jennings hitting Mehring right across the face mask, right cross, right in the kisser. So everyone was wondering what happened to cause that sort of response. Even Troy Aikman was saying during the telecast, well, clearly something happened during the course of the game to cause Jennings to search out Mehring afterwards. So what happens? We look back, we find different camera angles, and it turns out that during the game, Mehring, at the end of a run play, just kind of sneaky punches Jennings right in the groin. Are you watching this video right now? I feel like, or maybe you're just thinking about it, the potential pain, because it's pain. And so Jennings was like, I've had enough of this, sought him out, punched him in the face. And then afterwards, Kyle Shanahan was talking about this incident, and he actually called Mehring's move a cheap shot. Mehring was asked by the press, because then the video had gotten out, were your actions justified? How do you feel about it now? And he said, well, it is what it is, which, God, I hate it when people say that. It just is what it is. But apparently he was frustrated because Jennings is a guy, by his own admission, who plays physical football. Sometimes he plays after the play. He'll give you an extra push or two. He talks a lot of smack. So he's one of those guys that can really get under your skin if you're a defensive back. And that's exactly what happened to Trayvon Mehring. And that's why Mehring went for the old groin shot.
Yeah, but this is the definition of a low blow. Like, this is what it is. And it just feels like it's very unfair. So I don't know what the equivalent and what, like, the retribution should be. Like, obviously you can't punch somebody in the face or, like, do that. I don't know. Maybe wait on him after the game. Like, just don't do it on the field. Not that I'm condoning violence. But, Jenks, what do you think is the appropriate, like, like, give back? Do you say, hey, I get a free shot after the game. That is unfair. You should not hit me there. Because obviously, like, I don't know how this feels.
So. Well, it doesn't feel... I mean, if you look at Jaquan Jennings... Or Jaquan Jennings, like, his reaction tells you all you need to know. Just watching him. Like, even if you don't have any idea, like, he's doubled over in pain, like Trent Williams is holding him up. Like, oh my God, you just took one of the most painful shots you can take. Yeah. See, you going eye for an eye here. A groin for a groin. A testy for a testy. Whatever it takes. That's one of those things you just should not do. It's just like Jamar Chase apologized yesterday for spitting on Jalen Ramsey. Those are a couple of unwritten rules. You don't spit in someone's face. You don't hit someone in their groin. You just do not do that. Like, that's taking things to a level that no one should go to, which is why Chase apologized. And I would expect Mehring at some point to do the same.
What is this, preschool? Like, where we have to bottom line the, like, most basic things that you shouldn't be doing to other human beings? I don't know what it is with some of these players, but like, set a better example. Like, I'm not saying that you have to be a saint and like, you know, be a youth pastor and be a role model to all these kids, but like, just don't do the bottom, like, worst things. The
right.
bottom of the barrel, baseline things that you should not be doing. And here's the thing, you're going to get caught. There are so many cameras
right.
where I don't know where these guys think that they're going to be, you know, getting away with this. But, like, people see this, and here's the thing. You know how the internet works. Not only is this footage going to be released, but people are going to zoom in. They're going to put this in slow-mo. They're going to put it on a loop where you see it 15 times in a row and set it to music because that's how the internet works. So we all saw it. We all know that it is out of bounds to do that. So I don't know. Like, obviously, you shouldn't do things because it's the wrong thing to do, but especially mm-hmm. don't do it because you're going to get caught.
Every single time you're not going to get away with it. Like I was reading about this on ESPN this morning. They didn't have the video, so I do a quick search, and what's the first thing I see on Reddit? Did anyone see this? Like, it, no matter what, no matter how sneaky you think you're being or how slick you think you're being, you are going to get busted. So just like Ja'Marr Chase got busted last week, now it's Trayvon Merrick's turn to get busted. So there's going to be something come down from the NFL. We'll just have to see exactly what that is. Coming up next here on the show, it is time to go back to college football and who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports will talk about that with us. It is next on the Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Great to have you with us. Michael Jenkins, she is Chelsea Messenger, coming up on the show. Have you guys seen Diego Pavi's mom? Oh, dude. We're going to talk college football with Joe DeLeon from A to Z Sports in just moments. We were laughing about that yesterday. Because it was just like cutaway. It's like, all right, we get it. But you have to tell me about this Joel Klatt hot take that I had not seen, which I feel like this is awful. We can ask Joe about this as well. I mean, there are bad takes and there are bad takes.
Well, sometimes I understand, like, the name of the game in broadcasting is sometimes you have to have hot takes to get attention. But this one felt out of line. So Joel Klatt, who is a commentator for Fox Sports, he does a lot of stuff for the Big Ten. He said, and I quote, "The Iron Bowl is not in the hemisphere of Ohio State versus Michigan." And not only did he say this, he went on a show that is in Birmingham, Alabama, and said this to the hosts, who all live in the state of Alabama. So, most expectedly, obviously, the hosts were very offended, and they should be. As somebody who has lived in the state of Alabama, like, not in the same hemisphere. Like, if you want to make, like, some type of comment and say, okay, the game is better than the Iron Bowl, like, I'll listen. Like, they're both great rivalries, but to say it's not in the same hemisphere is absolutely crazy.
Oh, that's wild stuff. That's, I mean, come on, dude. Like, I get it. Like, I'm absolutely of the opinion Ohio State Michigan is probably right there at the top. But the idea that there's just nothing that comes close, like not in the same hemisphere, and that's and saying it to people in that state, that is gutsy. I'll say that. Well, let's find out what Joe thinks. Joe DeLeon, host of the Rough and Owen Joe Show, also covers college football and the NFL draft for A to Z Sports. Joe, good morning to you. Good to see you. What do you think? Where do you rank the Iron Bowl compared to Ohio State, Michigan, or do you have a particular favorite rivalry that maybe stands out to you? I think we all agree this particular take is not great.
Yeah. I love Joel Klatt. I respect him. I think knowing the very deep ties that he has working for Fox to the Big Ten, it couldn't be more obvious what he's trying to do here. I'm not implying that he was asked to make this take, but it seems like his rooting interests have impacted his decision making. I think that it's 1A, 1B. I can't really separate one or the other, which is why this take is so heinous to say that they're not even close to one another. One of my best football memories that's not related to the team that I root for, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I remember sitting on my couch watching the kick six and standing up and going, oh my God, what is happening? It's the craziest moment that I have ever watched live. I don't know if I could say the same thing about the game with Michigan and Ohio State. It's always incredibly tense. It feels like there's a lot of situations where that game somehow ends up being lopsided because all the energy gets injected to how these teams play. But I feel like no matter what, Auburn could have no wins. It could be the worst team in college football, and Alabama could be a national championship contender or vice versa, and the game's always going to be good. So I don't really get where Klatt's coming from this. I'm shocked that that was his take.
Yeah, I actually got to be on the field for the kick six. It was like one of the best moments of my life as a young broadcaster, and I feel like I almost got trampled by most of the student section at Auburn, but still an incredible moment. So you said you're a Notre Dame fan, and it's funny you say that because similar to what we see from Joel Klatt, where it feels like there's always like underlying narratives and like teams that people want to push, a lot of people say that about Notre Dame. Where they say, hey, the committee loves Notre Dame because they are a blue blood, they are a big brand in college football, and maybe they're up a few spaces higher than they should be in the college football rankings. Obviously, over the weekend, no question about how good they were against, you know, Syracuse. But do you think some of those claims are warranted, or do you truly think Notre Dame deserves its position in the college football rankings?
I don't think that they're warranted, and it's been one of the most frustrating things being a Notre Dame fan this year, hearing those claims. As soon as they lost to Texas A&M, it was just immediately brought up, Notre Dame's going to get in no matter what. If they win out, they'll be in the mix because they're a big brand. The College Football Playoff Committee wants to have them represent. I mean, last year, I understand that there were certain conference tie-ins, but they threw SMU in there. I really don't think that they're is this much of a desire to put in one of the top brands. If that were true, Alabama would have been in over SMU, and we wouldn't, you know, this conversation would be completely different. I think, though, this year, the debate obviously comes down to them in Miami. I think that the committee failed initially by putting Notre Dame as high as they did and not give them the opportunity to gradually earn their way into a strong position and to create that much of an early separation between them and Miami that forced this gigantic debate. But at the end of the day, Notre Dame, understandably, they both have like a similar just general resume in terms of quality of wins, and if they Miami beats Pitt this weekend, they'll have another similar win. Notre Dame's overall performance this year is better than Miami's. Notre Dame's two losses come to, obviously, Miami and Texas A&M at home in the beginning of the year. Miami has to win the games that are on their schedule. They have to. They need to be held accountable for losing to two teams that are currently not really in the top 12 mix whatsoever. If you're going to fail that badly against teams that you're supposed to beat, you have to be held accountable. I think that a lot of people are saying, well, the results in the field matter. The head-to-head matters. Well, the results in the field matter when we're talking about Miami being unable to beat middle-of-the-pack teams in the ACC. If SMU wins the ACC, maybe it betters their case, but I just think that nobody's really mentioning the fact that they were heavily favored in those and completely collapsed and fell apart.
Joe, when you look at, you know, the top teams that are vying for a national championship, who is the one team maybe that's right there on the edge that we don't give enough credit to that has a real shot here? Is it Texas Tech, a team like that?
There's two teams that I think absolutely can fit this description. Texas Tech, I think, is a really solid example. Being higher up, they're kind of in the forefront of the mix of expectations for teams that can go on to compete for a Final Four at the very least. I think that they belong there because they have arguably the best pass rush in college football. They've got two guys, David Bailey and Romello Height, who are going to go on to get very high NFL looks, and David Bailey is trending towards becoming potentially a top 10, maybe even a top 5 pick. Having those bodies, I think a lot of people are just overlooking them, thinking, oh, it's a Big 12 team, they're just not equipped to go toe-to-toe with an SEC or Big 10 program. That is not the case. Having those guys is comparative to a lot of SEC and Big Ten programs this year. The other's Oregon. I felt like a lot of people were completely discounting Oregon because they hadn't necessarily played anyone, and that was true. Their best win came against Iowa, and that was a nice little test. But since the Indiana loss, there was a lot of doubt that was creeping in. But against USC this past weekend, I think that they really flexed their muscles. They were going up against a USC team that was showing that they were improving, that they were starting to be able to play to the physical nature of needing to succeed in the Big Ten. And what Oregon did is they punched them in the mouth. They ran the ball really well, and they accomplished this with multiple injuries along their offensive line, as well as not having their best receiver in DeCoria Moore. So for them to be able to play as well as they did, as they're gradually hopefully going to get healthy over the next few weeks after this game against Washington, I think a case has been made because they're deep on defense, they're deep on offense, and they have a tremendous quarterback in Dante Moore. I think that Oregon absolutely needs more love in this conversation.
All right, so if you look at the odds, Ohio State is your favorite over at BetMGM at plus 185 to win the national championship. And then there's quite a drop down to Indiana, who is 5-1, Texas A&M 7-1. But I want to ask you this because sometimes matchups matter when it's like the tournament format. We see this in March Madness a lot. I know it's a little different with football, but is there a team that you think matches up really well against Ohio State and could present a challenge to the Buckeyes if it ends up being like Ohio State versus this team in the national championship?
Yeah, the one is really tough to like really truly project because Ohio State is just such a juggernaut at the current moment. And the one issue that they had was that they had an inconsistent run game, and it feels like recently, since they've gotten more out of Bo Jackson, their freshman running back, that that's been somewhat figured out. Now, they're banged up at receiver, and that's something that they can't control that I don't think would play out in the national championship because Cardinal Tate and Jeremiah Smith should be back. I think that talking on that run game issue, depending on how they perform against a stellar Michigan defense, how that shows up, if it's still a problem and they go under 100 yards rushing and they're hovering right around it, I think Georgia ends up being the most difficult matchup for them because Georgia consistently has been one of the best run defenses in college football this year. Now, they haven't had much of a pass rush. They're starting to just figure it out and find it. But that run defense, to me, if you can completely eliminate the Ohio State rushing attack, it then creates opportunities for their offense, which has been incredibly well-rounded, to challenge the Ohio State defense that is unbelievably unstoppable at the current moment, is incredibly disruptive. But I would think that Gunnar Stockton showing some of his composure and big playability, as well as their ability to run the football, could end up punching the ball in on numerous drives in what could eventually be a relatively low-scoring, grinded-out type of a game. So I think Georgia, out of any team, if that was the matchup, those two teams, I think, would would create a really compelling battle, and I think Georgia could prevail.
Joe, where is Lane Kiffin going to coach next? Is he going to stay at Ole Miss? He going to LSU? Going to Florida? I mean, he's got us all in the. I have no idea.
I've been trying to figure this out, and I think that everybody absolutely has been trying to do the same. And I don't think that Kiffin has necessarily legitimately decided. I'm sure that he has a direction that he is leaning. I will say this. I feel like the tone of the announcement that was put out by Ole Miss's athletic administration, that statement to me of we will announce what we're doing after the Egg Bowl this Friday, that to me is enough of an indicator that this is not going to end the way that Ole Miss wants it to. You're not putting out a statement like that if he's coming back. It would have just been announced if he was planning to come back. They're probably making an announcement and trying to time up the announcement in order to at least keep the fan base engaged and ready to go for the Egg Bowl and then eventually ready to go for the college football playoff. I also think that the reporting that LSU had offered this ridiculous financial commitment not only to his salary but to NIL is also a pretty clear indicator. That information doesn't come out without reason. That stuff comes out because those that are a part of the decision-making that are part of this process want it to be known that LSU is leading the forefront. And if they have the ability to attract Lane Kiffin through that, I think it's going to show up in that final decision. It feels like LSU, but it feels like at the current moment, it's like 45 LSU, 40 Florida, and then another 10% towards Ole Miss. I think he's leaving at the very least, but it just feels like there's been a lot of jockeying back and forth between Florida and LSU.
All right, I got a quick one. We have like a minute left. I want to ask you about the Heisman race because it feels like, number one, this is not always the award for the best player in college football. Sometimes it's the best player on the best team. But this year, it just doesn't feel like somebody's really gone out and taken it. Like, Fernando Mendoza is your favorite over at BetMGM, but there's some other good candidates. Jeremiah Love is coming on strong down the stretch. You could probably make a good case for Diego Pavia. Who do you think wins the Heisman?
Not to inject too much bias into this take, being a Notre Dame fan, but I think that you make a really good argument here that we're not, it's a year where we don't really have a clear-cut winner. We don't have a clear-cut favorite. Nobody has statistically done anything ridiculous. We don't have a Joe Burrow or a Jaden Daniels type of a season from any of these quarterbacks. I think that Jeremiah Love is at the strongest impact for his team. Whenever they've needed him, he's come up with a huge play. He's had a long rushing touchdown. He's made a bunch of guys miss it. He's got a highlight every single game, and his stats have consistently gotten better. Depending on how he finishes against Stanford, I think it should be a no-brainer that Jeremiah Love wins the award. And I know this means nothing, but I love bringing this up. Every year ending in a five since 1985, a running back has won the award. Now, that probably doesn't mean anything, but I think we should consider that in any projection or maybe betting that we put out there for the Heisman race.
I mean, it's something, right? You never know. It's right. Joe DeLeon. He is host of the Ruffino and Joe show, also covering college football and in the NFL draft for A to Z Sports. Joe, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us.
Of course. Thank you so much.
You bet. Chelsea, who do you like to win the Heisman? Is Pavia your guy? I mean, he's right there in Nashville.
Well, who do I like or who do I think is going to win? Because those are two different questions. Because I do think... Here's the thing. Like, if it was like, okay, who is the most valuable to their team, it's definitely Diego Pavia. But I do think Vanderbilt probably needed to win a few more games. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not, you know, the best player in college football, because otherwise we'd be looking at, like, some receivers as well. But it's like, who's the best quarterback on the best team that's put up the best numbers? So I don't know. It feels like kind of a crapshoot.
Yeah, I think it's going to be Mendoza. I mean, he's the favorite right now. We were talking about this yesterday. Mendoza's getting ready for Purdue. Julian Sain is a guy. I'm telling you, he's right there. He has had a monster season, and all of a sudden, if he beats Michigan and then he goes to the Big Ten championship game, I feel like we're not talking enough about him. He's been brilliant for Ohio State, which has kind of been playing boring football, a testament to how good they are, but he is right there, and I think the third favorite right now, BetMGM. Best Bets coming up next year on the Daily Tip. Do not go anywhere.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
Welcome back. It is a daily tip on BetMGM Network. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. What a great week. Rivalry week in college football. Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday. Chelsea, how many people are you cooking for? You got the whole family coming over? Or are you just decorating the house? What's going on?
Well, it's my whole family, but my family's not that big. So it is me, it is Jake, it is Blake, it is my mom, it is my dad, and it is my brother. So it's, you know, it's a sizable group. Like, it still requires some planning. And it's like, my dad's 6'5", and my brother's 6'6", and, like, Jake's not small either. So it's just like, even though it's not a lot of people, they're going to be eating a lot. So I still have to make a lot of food.
Oh, my God. You live with a bunch of giants.
Well,
and you're tall yourself.
I don't live with my dad and brother.
Well, you grew up with a bunch of giants. Now you live with Jake. He's a big guy, right? Like, Jake's what? How tall is Jake?
6'1". He's not that tall.
He's 6'1". 6'1".
Well, like, comparatively speaking.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah, for
sure. Compared to my family. Yeah, like, my aunt's 6'2".
She is? Oh, my God. That's incredible.
She's awesome.
I'll tell you. Is she?
It's funny because, like, my aunt used to always sit around and play poker with... So, my dad had three brothers, and then it's my Aunt Debbie. And so, like, she would always sit around and, like, watch football and, like, play poker with them. So, it was... She's always had that, like, mentality is that, like, she was one of the boys. So... I've always liked her for that reason. But yes, growing up with a brother that's noticeably taller than you, that's why I hate basketball. Because I always had to play basketball with Frankie in the driveway. And he would always beat me by a lot. And I would cry. And he'd be like, the game's not over. You can't cry. You can't quit. I'm like, I don't want to quit. I'm 8. Can I just go watch My Little Ponies? He's like, no, you have to finish the game. So yes, that was my childhood.
Oh, my God. You poor thing. Well, you get to watch some college sports this week. Do you get excited for rivalry week? I mean, NC State, you guys host Jordan Hudson in North Carolina this week. That's huge.
Well, I will say one thing. Like, NC State and Dave Doran is normally pretty good at beating UNC in football. So that is something to look forward to. But correct me if I'm wrong, but when I think of, like, Thanksgiving week, I think I have PTSD from, like, working overtime, like, on the lower levels, like, coming up in TV, because it is such a big week. Like, I worked a lot of first jobs, in the South where I worked in Montgomery, Alabama. I worked in Columbus, Georgia, which is on the Alabama line. So I would always have to cover like the Iron Bowl, like wire to wire. And instead of like having a leisurely week at work because it's a holiday, it would be even more work. So I feel like I'm like scarred from that experience in that holidays were not a break in TV.
Oh, well, you got that right. Remember that was like your one chance to get on the desk? Get on the anchor desk. So exciting. Like, oh, awesome. Now I get to anchor and put something on my reel. And also it's Christmas Day. And the station would buy something. Mm. You know, they'd bring in like, hey, it's Thanksgiving. So here, they used to, back at Comcast Sportsnet, I had worked so many holidays before I didn't. And they would bring in like some local restaurant, like a bar that had food. And they made turkey and dressing. And they never made, like, it wasn't on the menu for them, but it was just for Thanksgiving because they were open, because they also wanted people to come in and watch football. And, you know, it was just very like, all right, here's some food. You're in the break room. Everybody's just sitting around a round table eating their Thanksgiving. I have to say, those are the days I don't miss. I enjoyed it at first, and then I was like, I'd really rather be out for the holiday.
Right, and then you look at Facebook, and everybody's celebrating with their families, and you're sitting at a computer screen checking scores while eating a Pop-Tart cold from the vending machine along with a Diet Coke. Happy holidays!
It's the most wonderful time of the year. You started singing that. It's a callback from 3 hours ago. All right. Well, guys, I guess here we go. I just want to say for the record, well, I guess I can say this when we do our bets, but I'm just not told about the card. So let's get to it.
Time to place your bets.
I cannot tell you how much I do not like the card tonight. I have not bet on college basketball this season. That's where I'm going to go because I got nothing else I can figure out. But I feel like you've already started making some college basketball bets, correct?
Well, I've been watching college basketball, but like some of these teams are still kind of unknown. So like we're going to try our best. What do you mean, Jenks? You're not excited for Northern Iowa and Loyola Chicago? Because that's where my best bet is. I'm going to be betting on Northern Iowa, laying the points in the 7.5, best number over at BetMGM. This is already 8.5 at some other places. But here's the thing. It has been a god-awful season for Loyola Chicago, both when it comes to just plain wins. They are 1-5, but especially against the number. This team has been way overvalued, and they haven't even been valued that highly. 0-6 against the number so far this season, including in games which they were big favorites. Like last game, there were 13.5-point favorites against Northern Illinois. They lost that game 76-59. So it just feels like Loyola Chicago is just having a down season. Meanwhile, Northern Iowa has stacked 5 straight wins, and they've been way better at covering. So the only issue here is Northern Iowa is really good at defense, but their offense is not it's not their calling card. So like the reason that they may not cover in this one is just that they don't score a ton of points. But if you look at their defense, it has been absolutely lights out. A top 50 defense, according to KenPom. I know it's early in the season, but I do think they will be able to stifle a bad Loyola Chicago offense. So let's go Northern Iowa, laying the 7.5 against Loyola of Chicago.
All right. Nice job. I've been watching a little bit of college basketball. Not much. I was looking at the slate tonight. I almost, Chelsea, went with the old pass. Like, what are you betting on tonight? Pass? Nothing. Nothing.
The dog show.
The dog show. I'm betting on the schnauzer. The schnauzer to win. That's what I'm going with. So I looked at the hockey slate. We got one game on the card. We have the Oilers hosting the Stars. The Oilers have been okay. The Stars have been really good. They're without Mikko Rantanen, who got suspended. But I don't know. I like the Stars maybe at plus money. Couldn't figure that one out. No football tonight after going 2-0 last night on Monday Night Football. So what am I doing? I'm actually going college basketball. Let's go Tennessee, Houston, under 135.5. I believe they're playing in Las Vegas. I'm not crazy about this bet. But look, when you talk about these two teams, you're talking about two of the best defensive teams in college basketball. We know that. Emmanuel Sharpe banged up for the Cougars, so maybe that affects the scoring output a little bit. Also, Tennessee has hit the under. If you're looking for some sort of trends, and I was desperate for something, Tennessee has hit the under in 7 of their last 8 against teams from the Big 12. Houston overall, generally an under team, which we know they've hit the under in 13 of their last 20. So I guess if I have to, under 135.5. Yeah, it's low, but 2 defensive squads. Let's go there between the Vols and the Cougs. Go Cougs.
Yeah. Go Cougs. this one makes a ton of sense, though. Like, even if you date it back to last year, just because both these teams we know usually have staunch defenses. But the only narrative, like, I was thinking about that may not be true. So let me bounce this off you. Okay, so sure. Houston played in a really tight overtime game against Syracuse last night. That was a really great game. Do you think this affects their defense, like in the way that they play really tight defense? Or do you think it goes in the way of, hey, their legs are going to be tired, they're going to miss more shots?
Yeah, I thought about that, and I don't know. Like, that's one of those. It's like the question when a team could be in any sport. Like, we talk about baseball. Like, oh, this team has had a few days rest. Will they be rested? Will they be rejuvenated? Or will they lose some? Right, rusty, right? So mm-hmm. I feel like it's the same sort of question. And you kind of have to go with your gut here, maybe the eye test. But I don't know the answer tonight. And then also, if you talk about like Emmanuel Sharpe, for example, then you're talking about, okay, well, maybe that'll take away from their offensive output. But he's a very good defender. So, you know, does that mean less defense? I don't know. This is why I wanted to pass tonight, is what I'm trying to tell you.
I wanted to pass. Oh, man. You're like Ben Simmons under the basket. You're like, I don't want to shoot. I want to pass.
Right.
But it'll be a good game. And I will say, like, one thing mm-hmm. college basketball does really well is that during Feast Week, we get some really good matchups. So I know a lot of people do not pay attention to college hoops until, I don't know, March. But now's a good time to get your feet wet. If you want to watch something during the day, college hoops has you covered.
That's right. Well, guess who hasn't been here in a long time? The Dogster. I'm not saying anyone's missed him. I'm just saying he hasn't been here. But he is now. Dogster, get on in here. What's going on? Dogster, where are you?
Me? Where in the hell has everyone been?
We've been here the entire time.
Oh, really? You've been doing the show and somehow I missed it.
No, I was out for a few days, but everyone else was here.
A few days? You missed like 4 months. Do you know how lonely it's been and how many inappropriate texts I had to send? Like 70.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I missed you. Do you have a bet?
It sure is lonely in this closet.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that's where you were. Do you have a bet?
Yes. Thunder minus 10.5 against Kevin Garnett and the T-Wolves.
Nailed it.
Wow. I was going to say you've been missed, but I don't know about that. All right. Thunder minus 10.5. All right, there you go. Sure, a little NBA.
Well, it's funny to me that he sounds pissed off because, like, look at his picture. He looks cool as a cucumber. I thought he was going to be, like, in somebody's basement, like, happily. Like, some, like, attractive female's like, I've worked my way into her basement and things are going great. Like, that sounds like something he would do. Is like, he would, you know, find his way into somebody's house and be a peeping dunkster.
That's probably why he has the glasses on. You can't see him. Right? Just doing a little peeping. Well, that is it for us here on the Daily Tip on BetMGM Network. That is Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. Thanks for being with us. Go out. Have a great Tuesday. We will see you early tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Bye.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.